Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It certainly is. And this morning in the studio, we have got Dr. Helen Murray, who is talking a bit about a neurological disorder, which I practiced and immediately forgot how to say. It's called chronic traumatic
encephalopathy.
There we go. This sounds like really interesting research, and it's also quite interesting because you are yourself a professional ice hockey player. Is that correct?
Yeah, professional is probably pushing it, but
a very good one. It's lovely to have you in the studio this morning. Helen, tell us a wee bit about this particular part of your research, and how did you end up in this space?
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to kind of come on and be able to talk about this sort of thing because it is a passion project. So I study this disease called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and we're going to go straight to the acronym CTE.
Yes.
Because that's a lot easier to say. So CTE is a neurological disorder that leads to a form of dementia, so cognitive decline, memory loss, that kind of symptomology, and it's associated with repetitive head injuries.
Okay.
So particularly prominent at the moment in the media because people are talking about this in the context of rugby and American football and soccer, regular football. So yeah, as a contact sport athlete myself, it's something that sort of weighs on my mind a little bit. And so yeah, this research is working with the Human Brain Bank at the Centre for Brain Research to look at tissue from people who have passed away with CTE so we can understand it better.
This is something that I feel like we didn't hear anything about until maybe like not even 10 years ago, and then we started sort of hearing media stories or people who have been working in these sporting fields for a long time saying this is real, we need the research to back it up. Is that kind of what drove you to maybe working in this space? How did you end up in this realm?
Yeah, so the field itself kind of goes back quite a long time, surprisingly, but it was only really talked about in the context of boxing. So it was referred to as dementia pugilistica or punch drunk syndrome, which was a phenomenon that they thought was only associated with people who'd been boxers. In the last 10 years, actually, most of the research has been done in the last 10 years, we've seen that the pathology, what's happening in the brain, also happens in people who play other contact sports or receive head injuries from other means, like military, blast exposure and domestic violence and that kind of thing. So now that we know that it's happening across sort of different head injury exposures.
Yeah.
Now, that was the point I was really interested because, you know, I play a contact sport. Ice hockey has a lot of physicality to it.
Yes.
And I guess my question is, you know, where does this lead to for me and my hockey community? And then, you know, all of the research at the moment is actually predominantly male in terms of, you know, we're studying the brains of a lot of the time professional athletes or a lot of, you know, people who've had very long careers.
Yeah.
And that's a relatively new space for women in sport. So
totally.
I have a personal interest in, you know, eventually trying to understand this from that perspective too.
Yeah. We were just chatting off air before about, I think there is a news story at the moment in the UK, they're trialling banning headers, doing headers in football, soccer, for under 12-year-olds. Kind of related to this space is same sort of concern about repetitive head injury and what that could mean, particularly for young people as well. What are some of the, I guess, particular avenues you're looking into? You've mentioned women being quite an interesting thing that you're sort of focusing on, but what are some of these spaces that exist?
Yeah, so there is a lot of work at the moment looking into how does head injury lead to the brain changing over the long term? You know, we're talking 10, 20 years after someone's finished their playing career.
Totally.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of chat about concussion.
Mm-hmm.
A concussion is essentially a set of symptoms that sort of tell you that your brain has been damaged very, very seriously.
Yeah.
But there are so many other impacts that happen, you know, that don't cause symptoms. So, you know, violent forces to the head or just sharp movements, little contacts that you don't think of as being particularly bad. And so what we know about CTE is that it is that duration of head injury exposure, how many, even those small hits over a long time, and we think that's what's actually accumulating into the pathology that we see. So by reducing kids having head injury exposure young, you're essentially taking, you know, 5-10 years off that exposure time that could increase their risk. So that's kind of the logic behind doing that sort of thing. There's another movement in the US to reduce contact in NFL, not NFL, you know, young kids in American football. So it's a similar kind of thing. So that's one of the things that I think is, you know, important that we look at, you know, how do we make it safer for the long term so people have long playing careers. From my perspective, I'm trying to understand, how is CTE different from other types of dementia?
I was going to ask, because you've sort of said it's related to dementia. There is kind of conversations about Alzheimer's, and these are all actually, I guess, diseases that we're still learning a lot about even now, even though dementia and Alzheimer's have been diagnosed and understood for a long time, actually still kind of new terrain. So how does this fit into that big picture?
Yes. So the tricky thing with all of these, you know, so dementia is an umbrella term for a lot of cognitive symptoms, and they overlap a lot between diseases like Alzheimer's or frontotemporal dementia and CTE. The types of symptoms that people present are quite similar. So often we don't know for sure if someone has any of those diseases until we look at the brain.
Right.
And that is problematic in the sense that if you're trying to develop treatments or you're trying to develop ways to intervene and delay or prevent the disease, if you don't know what someone has, you can't actually do that. So by understanding what's happening in the brain in these different diseases, we're trying to get an idea of, can we predict or better sort of delineate what people have earlier.
Wow, it sounds like, I mean, amazingly important research, fresh as well in the sense that there's so much unknown space. Where are you at with your research around this? What's your sort of next step that you're stepping into?
Yeah, so this project that we're doing is pretty new. So we're about a year into it now. And we are specifically looking at brain tissue. So we're looking at the microscopic changes that happen in CTE and Alzheimer's and normal aging to see what's different between them. We're kind of in the process at the moment of starting a sports brain bank initiative. So that means that people can bequeath their brains to us when they pass away. So that, you know, that's a long-term thing.
Yes.
In the meantime, we're collecting tissue from collaborators in Australia and the US to sort of get started. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the long-term is we really want to do this in a New Zealand community kind of cohort and understand how this looks in New Zealand, not really in the US. So that's, we're sort of early stages, but I think there's so much public interest in this that it's going to accelerate,
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Dr. Helen Murray. This sounds like really interesting and important research, so thank you for speaking with us about it this morning.
No problem, thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.